This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Downtown St. Louis has simultaneously been the subject of too much and not enough attention. Last April, the Wall Street Journal published an article that called the area an unfolding, quote, real estate nightmare. Response to that piece was, unsurprisingly, chilly. But such national coverage also spurred action. That has included investments along Washington Avenue, as well as in major entertainment and sports venues like Busch Stadium, Enterprise Center, and Energizer Park. But more businesses are needed, residents and workers say, within the spaces between these attractions.
You just come to a hockey game, you just come to a baseball game, you just come to a Battle Hawk game, and as soon as that's over, you leave and you go back home. That's a trip wasted in terms of the city gaining more revenue, gaining more vibrancy, gaining more people who on a regular basis will come here and say, this is an experience that I want to repeat.
That was Charles Bryson, a policy catalyst with TrailNet, who has lived or worked downtown for more than 20 years. He spoke with STLPR economic development reporter Eric Schmidt for Eric's latest story on downtown St. Louis. And Eric joins me now. Eric, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Elaine. It's great to be here.
So, Eric, let's get to this part right off. Why did the Wall Street Journal call downtown St. Louis a real estate nightmare caught in a doom loop?
Well, they came up with that characterization because if you look at the very, very, very central part of the downtown's core, basically the 63101 zip code, that's where you have the Railway Exchange Building, the AT&T Tower, and a handful of other office or, you know, old buildings that are no longer filled with people, and there's a sense of vibrancy that has been lost. And so if you look just specifically at that part of downtown, you go, wow, this is very desolate. There aren't a lot of people. And it gives this feeling of kind of a doom and gloom, you know, everything is going wrong.
Mm-hmm. And definition of downtown, I think, is something important to address.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So are we just talking about the Central Core or Downtown West too?
So in the Wall Street Journal article, they did mention Downtown West, but not, you know, not really linking that into downtown. And if you talk with people here, if you mention, oh, where is Energizer Park, most people would probably say that's downtown, mm-hmm. even though it's technically in the Downtown West neighborhood. I think about downtown as stretching from the Arch all the way a little bit past, you know, a handful of blocks past Jefferson Avenue, mm-hmm. or just up, basically just up to Jefferson Avenue, or Jefferson, really. Uh-huh. And that is a lot larger of a region than just the very, very central core. And so when you start to look at downtown in that sense, where there is still a lot of the same kind of urban feel, mm-hmm. you know, extending out from that particular core, then things start to look a lot different based off of, you know, who's living there and also where people are spending their money.
Yeah. Now, let's get back to that Wall Street Journal article and then the response, which was prickly, but also something actually came of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the action that took place?
Yeah, I mean, there were things that were already in the works. I mean, that's what the outgoing mayoral administration had said last May. Mayor Tashara Jones issued a challenge to Greater St. Louis Inc. and also the St. Louis Development Corporation to basically say, come up with a plan to deal with the Millennium Hotel site and the Railway Exchange Building. These are two properties that have been vacant for more than a decade and were ones that needed to have action done on them. And mm-hmm. in the ensuing year, now we have a contract. The Gateway Arch Park Foundation is under contract to purchase the Millennium Hotel. They've selected a developer. Those renderings have gone out. I wrote about that. You know, people are, you know, quite excited about that.
Right.
Also, the city is moving forward with suing to seize the Railway Exchange Building and the adjoining parking structures through eminent domain. And as recently as last month, they paid to purchase that parking structure. And that was so that they could move forward more quickly with a demolition while a request for proposal for redevelopment for both of those city blocks comes out. And so those are real tangible steps that have happened, whereas at this point last year, they weren't happening.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like that's a lot of change in a relatively short period of time, that is. But how long is it actually going to take to go from, you know, these deals, you know, this investment, to return that people can actually see?
It will likely take a lot more time, many more years. One of the people I spoke to in the article, a man by the name of Hank Weber, who is a principal at Urban Impact Advisors, who is also working on a book about how industrial cities like St. Louis in the Midwest, and also including Birmingham, Alabama, because it fits the same characteristics of cities that have experienced decline from manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at how those types of cities responded, and he said, well, it takes many years, you know, 15 to 20 years to turn around a neighborhood, which downtown is a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of sustained effort in that sense. So it's about starting with Millennium Hotel and the Railway Exchange Building, and then continuing to push on the momentum and, as he said, recognizable wins, which the progress that has been made is recognizable as a win. It needs more to start to feel like the blocks in between there are, you know, vibrant again.
Mm-hmm. And to pull it back a little bit, I mean, 10, 15, 15 to 20, we're talking about like 5-year increments.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just 5 years ago that we hit the pandemic. How much of the current state of downtown is owed to what happened because of the coronavirus pandemic?
The coronavirus pandemic really accelerated some of the things that were all the underlying fractures, I would say, that downtown faced. It accelerated office tenants deciding to go to other places, you know, places that had better amenities. But the thing is that even before the coronavirus pandemic, downtown's office stock was getting older. It was matching less and less of what office tenants may have wanted, what the market really wanted. And so the pandemic wasn't necessarily like, oh my gosh, it happened, and then this whole problem just emerged. It was something that intensified and accelerated some of the trends that were already happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the pandemic though, there has been a rebound in spending in downtown, just not necessarily in that central core. If you look at, you know, sales tax receipts that the state of Missouri publishes, you know, from over the past 10 years, that concentration, it's gotten back up to pre-pandemic levels, but
mm-hmm.
the concentration is different. It's grown in downtown West and the zip code that also includes Midtown, and it has declined in that very, very central core that we started our conversation with.
Right, right. So then the work of making a turnaround happen, I mean, and a turnaround is not one of those things where it's point A to point B, very short space in between, and we see it immediately. What sort of insight did you get into the kind of work that it will take to reach a point where people will say, this has been turned around?
Yeah, I think the best example of that is when I spoke with Alex Oliver, who's the owner and founder of Oliver Properties. His firm has amassed 5 buildings on Washington Avenue that are multifamily, that had been already converted into multifamily, either condos or apartments. And basically his whole strategy was like, we're just going to make it better management, better amenities. And his whole perspective was, there's not one or two things that are going to happen, but it's he said like something about a million little incremental things to really build that and show change for people.
No, it's signing, you know, one really good retail lease and then another good retail lease and getting 5 more residents in our building and then 5 more residents in our building and then 5 more residents in our building and then cleaning up the street and then getting that new planter out front and then getting the parking lot secured and then getting the curbs repaved or repoured and getting the trees that are dead to be replaced and getting the trash cans that are broken to be replaced and then adding more residents. And then it's that naturally growing momentum versus, you know, some magic bullet that's going to be like, oh man, if we just do this one thing. It's like, it's not one thing. It's a lot of small things. It's management intensive.
And as Oliver states there, it's all of these little tiny actions that start to build up and stack on top of each other. It's not like all of a sudden 10,000 people are going to say, wow, downtown St. Louis is the most amazing place that I want to live. But as Oliver said, if you get five people and then five more people and then, you know, one lease, two leases, that starts to build. And that's the thing that, again, it goes back to that time horizon where you can take a step back and 3, 5, 7, 10 years and say, oh, wow, this looks and feels a lot different than it did because of those little actions that stack up into really big things.
Mm-hmm. Eric Schmidt is STLPR's economic development reporter. His new feature is titled How Downtown St. Louis Can Get Its Groove Back. You can check it out at our website. That's STLPR.org. Eric, thanks so much for joining us today and for the work that you've been doing on something that a lot of people are paying attention to.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk about this stuff.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.